That's the Mekons from their latest record, Deserted. In the studio, we have Mekons, Sally Timms.
Hello.
And John Langford.
Okay, off your phone, Sally.
It's the words for the song.
And we've kept Bill and Kate and Donnie in the studio, so because we'll segue into some Fitzgerald stuff and Waco Brothers stuff. But let's start with that song. It's off the new record. And
that's one of the few songs we actually had before we went to make the record. We'd sort of thought about that one a little bit. But we knew we wanted to go and record in the desert in California, in Yucca Valley, near the Joshua Tree National Park. And our new most recent bass player, Dave Trumfio, has a sort of a share in a studio out there in the middle of nowhere. So we went there during a tour and just kind of hung out there and saw what popped out.
And how long were you there, and what was that experience like?
We were there for about 5 days, on and off. But we kept going off to play shows occasionally. So it was the usual Mekon experience, where it's too many things crammed into a very short period of time. But it was really stunningly beautiful. And we would just record in the day. And if we had a show to play nearby, we'd just drive and do it, and then come back and keep recording.
We did Puppy and Harriet's, and then
San Diego, and just, you know, short hops, and then come back. And all crammed into one house, sleeping in, you know, squeezed together in whatever beds there were.
Well, some people had those
little trailers
pods
that you can see on the front of there. Mm. Yeah.
A couple of people did.
Yeah.
I think Steve didn't like it. He came and slept in my room with me and Eric.
But
I think he was scared of the coyotes.
It was really beautiful. I mean, every morning I would wake up with the dawn and I'd walk outside, and all you could see was the Joshua Tree forest going up to the mountains and the sun coming up over the mountains, and there would never be just me. Everyone else had woken up at the same time. Because you couldn't help but go out and look. It just got you up.
We got up early and we stayed up really late. Yeah.
The stars, I think I read in some background, those weren't necessarily California stars. Were they from Australia? I mean, when the stars in that song.
Partially, it was about that, yeah. I mean, I was in Australia and I was suddenly, you know, out in the outback with some Aboriginal friends. And, you know, you really see the Milky Way there, and it's kind of overwhelming. But the only other place I'd seen it like that was in Joshua Tree.
It was?
Yeah, yeah. It's very... suddenly you realize people were sitting around for thousands and thousands of years, and that was kind of like Netflix. You know, you'd be sitting there looking up at that. I mean, it was so spectacular.
Except better.
I was looking at some stuff. When you did Natural, you recorded that in a cottage in the English. I remember we talked about that back at the old time.
Yeah, we went in very close to, well, it was in the Lake District, so, you know, where Wordsworth roamed around. And we also did a record on the island of Jura when we went to Scotland and toured the Highlands and Islands. Because, you know, the whole thing about the Mekons at this point is it's got to be fun for us. If it's fun for us, then that's okay. And so why would we just carry on doing the standard, you know, going into a studio or playing a regular place all the time? It's got to be something new.
Site specific.
We've got site
specific.
Yeah,
right.
Holiday, vacationing, and working at the same time.
Well, yeah.
We just saw this spot when we did Natural, and it was lovely. And we saw this pub that was fantastic. And then we thought, oh, it's great around here. We were with the Sadies, actually, so we should come back here and do something. And then there was a big stone circle, and then this barn we could just set up in. And it was just amazing. And then all the songs became about the immediate landscape and think the history of that area. So
yeah, that's right. You know, this little documentary we've been working on. How long did it take to do the Mekons documentary? About seven.
That was probably
six or seven years. That's about where we're at.
Yeah.
But that's one thing we try to do, is talk about how environment and air and all that influences music. Do you find that when you go to these different locations and make music? How does the environment influence you guys?
I would say lyrically it does. I'm not sure if sonically it does.
I think it did sonically on this, maybe in a kind of like big potpourri of kind of like different influences and associations. But definitely some of the stuff on the Deserted album, there's moments in it. I can't remember playing it. I don't know how it came about, but there's a song, After the Rain, and there's a sequence at the very end of that, at the end of the album, which it's like a load of kind of squeaking noises, and I can't tell who's playing what.
Uh-huh.
But it's really, for me, it sounds very much of that place.
Yeah, it's very site, like you said, it's very site-specific.
Yeah, odd.
Give the listeners who are maybe not familiar with the band a little history of the band when you guys formed in 77.
Formed in 77, punk rock band. We were described as the people who took punk rock as the furthest extreme, actually forming a band with people, no one who could play whatsoever. And we thought that was a positive advantage. And then slowly over the years, we, you know, had some adventures with major labels, and real musicians joined the band, and after a while we weren't afraid of them, because we realized that, you know, real musicians are good if what they play is in service of the song or the collective experience, rather than, you know, the virtuosity of the music we were reacting against was the 70s, the prog rock stuff. I mean, we couldn't get, you know, we couldn't have been in one of those bands.
Now you're back.
So we formed up. Now we've done a prog rock album. So it's gone full circle. This is our, you know, in the court of the Mekong King album, this one.
And you really don't rehearse because you all live in
That's
different
cheating,
places.
That's cheating, Dave.
Yeah.
We do rehearse, but we don't. I mean, people pick up on that. We do rehearse, but we can't rehearse because, you know, some of us live in the States. We don't even live in the same city in the States. And then some people live in London. Some people sometimes live in Russia. Some people live in Devon. So the only time we get together is when we're playing. So we have like a very, very short period of rehearsal, which we're very used to now.
Which usually gets eaten away by flight delays or people not.
Well, we get by on charm. You know, if you're under duress, you have to be charming.
So. I've run out.
But you have a slew of shows coming up. I'm going to try to get these straight. 9 p.m. July 12th at the Hideout.
Yep.
And then you're at the Square Roots Festival up there by Lincoln Square.
Bloodshot 25th anniversary day.
Yeah, that's on the Saturday.
Is that the 13th and 14th?
Yeah. And the 14th, we're back at the Hideout.
Yeah, and then you're even doing a show up in Madison.
Yep. Yeah.
The High Noon Saloon.
With the Weekends.
Who are they?
They're a Mekong
A Mekong's tribute band called the Weekends, who we bumped into. And then
probably going to be better than we are.
Yeah. We thought it'd be quite funny. They were quite embarrassed when we asked them to do it. Really? Yeah, why not?
They're unrehearsing right now.
We got to take a break and then maybe we'll come back with a song. I don't know. You're going to sing a couple songs for us.
Yeah, right? We're going to do a song. We're going to be bold and do a song off the new album.
Oh, good. Yeah. All right, so don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN.
And bone dirt dry, tongue teeth, hook round eye, hunkered down in this barren hole, bristling exoskeleton antennae. Come back later,
come back again.
You should see us after the rain. Armor-plated seeds and spores, armor-plated desperation, horns and ammo slit and claw, bleached white across desert floor. Come back in 7 years, come back.
Come back again.
Come back later. You should see us after the rain. Tracks in winter storms of spring, when flood and mud roll in, sleep and wake to germinate, bursting out of the ground. Come back in 7 years, come back
again.
A moment, a thousand years, come back again. Come back later,
come back again.
You should see us
Now there's some squeaking noises that we can't render here, unfortunately.
Little animals coming to
just
life.
Just imagine them.
Bursting out of the ground.
It's After the Rain from
Very
Deserted.
Cool.
By the Mekons.
Who has to sing the words bristling exoskeleton antenna?
Why don't you speak into the microphone?
I am speaking into the microphone. I'm sure it's picking up. It is a microphone.
It's just AM radio. You can't just wander off around the room.
It's not steam-powered. I'm in the room.
I've interviewed guys a few times, but did you meet through? How did you guys first meet?
Punk rock.
Was it?
In Leeds, yeah.
Was it Leeds?
Not true, actually.
What?
My cousin, Lizanne, was sharing a dorm with your girlfriend at the time.
No, they were in a they weren't
in a
dorm.
Halls of residence.
They were in a hall of residence. Yeah.
So
dorm.
Yeah.
No, they were not in a dorm. They had single rooms.
Well, it's the same. That is what a dorm is.
Carnegie College of Education.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's how I met John.
And what were you? What were you doing? What were you studying? What were you doing?
I was studying modern languages and business studies, but I wasn't at the university. I wasn't that smart.
Yeah.
I'm the
You're at
idiot.
The Poly with Mark Almond and Green from Scritti Politti and Frank Tovey from Fad Gadget. I was at the university with the Gang of Four and the Mekons.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And how many people have gone in and out of the Mekons? Over last time I was over 25.
There might be. Not really as many as you'd think. Yeah. And the current lineup's been pretty stable since it's kind of 85, the very beginning of 85. Lou
it's a
and
kind
Steve,
of open
John.
House, so people come and do things and go away. But the core band and even the original core band are still knocking around in whatever form. So I would say it's a pretty stable lineup.
And how many pieces will be at these shows we're talking about?
All eight.
The ridiculous number of eight.
Yes.
Divided by, everything's divided by eight. Doesn't make any sense.
One of my favorite stories is when you, this is kind of off the track a little bit, when you booked the band into the Mutiny. Do you remember that story?
Yes, I do.
Talk about that. And okay. The Mutiny closed about a year ago.
I know,
right?
More recently.
Really?
It's a real
Describe
loss.
The Mutiny for people who, yeah.
Well, the Mutiny is a bar we used to drive by on Western, right by Fullerton, and they have a big sign that says just bands wanted in the window. And we always thought, what is that place? And I knew that they put on kind of like punk rock shows or various things, but I'd never been in it before. And we wanted to do, we had this idea that we were going to do at the end of the tour, we were going to do a show or a couple of shows that raised money for charity. We did it for Doctors Without Borders. So we had
this. We got them 3 miles of borders.
Yeah. And so we did The Hideout. It was called From the Hideout to the Mutinies. We played at the Hideout, and then we caught the CTA bus with the audience to the Mutiny, and it was,
and some of the equipment.
No,
we didn't. We caught it to the corner of North Avenue and West,
and then
we
had to change buses. And it was Tim Tutton and Cynthia Plastercaster were the tour guides on the bus. So we played a show, got on the bus, caught the bus with as many, it was packed with people, and then some people who were just on the bus ended up coming to the show because they were like, well, what are you doing? But the best thing was when I called up to get the gig at the Mutiny, and I called up and I said, okay, we want to play at your club, and this woman, I think it was Rhonda, she went, yeah, okay, well, what kind of music? And I went, well, it's kind of country folk stuff. And she said, well, what's the name of the band? Mekons. Completely nonplussed, she'd never heard of us. So I said, she said, well, you've got to bring in at least 100 people. And I was thinking, yeah, right. And it's like the Mutiny is packed with 100 people every night. So I was like, well, yes, we can do that. And so she went, all right, you're booked. And that was it. She kind of like completely dismissive. It was great. And then I was thinking, well, is it booked really? You know, and so about a month before, I would call up and go, we're still on the calendar, right? She'd go, yeah, you're booked. That's it. You know, that's all it took, nothing else. And then closer to the date, when we started advertising, they clearly were getting like loads and loads of calls going, is this a joke? Are the Mekons really playing at the Mutiny? And they were like, yeah. And so then when I called her, she was always like, what's going on? And so the whole place was just packed when we showed up. It was fantastic. It was really, really a great night.
Paul Birch played from Nashville with his band. And then
and we have
Bonnie Prince Billy was playing.
Yeah, Will Oldham played and Ted Leo sang. Loads of different people came and sang, and it was just a really fantastic evening. And we raised a lot of money.
At the end of the night, the guy wouldn't give us a drink when we walked in. He was suddenly giving me pitchers of margaritas. And at the end, as we were leaving, he came up to me and said, "You know, man, that was you're like the second best band that ever played here." And I thought, that's perfect. I think I was meant to ask who's the best band, but I didn't. I just left.
And they had an 8-channel PA, and one of the channels was broken. And it sounds fantastic in that room. Yeah. It's like fantastic.
And there was an old bass amp in the corner that no one had plugged in for years, and it was all covered in cobwebs. And then there was a ceiling tile dangling down. And Kelly Hogan saw the ceiling tile dangling down the old bass. She sat on the floor and started crying. She said, "This is so beautiful." She had a very emotional moment.
Did you guys ever go there, Bill, Kate?
I've been in there.
It was a total dive.
I've forgotten the name of the guy who runs it, and it was a great Chicago. We're losing all these places, and it's not just a tragedy.
And it's not just a sign in the window. It wasn't like a paper sign. It was painted on the window. Bands wanted. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, they wanted bands to come.
And it was really egalitarian. I mean, I loved the idea that I just called up and said, "I want a show." Okay. Yes. No, like, send me your CD or anything like that. Yeah, all right, you can have a show, as long as you bring 100 people, which I know is clearly not what was going on every single night at the Mutiny. But it was just, you know, they were just great.
I never got around to it. I always wanted to do a story. They had karaoke at 10 in the morning on Saturdays. And they told me one time, I was in there a few times, and they said, like, people, you know, maybe come in after, you know, for karaoke. They've been out all night.
Yeah.
And they would come
in. I feel bad. And the first time we walked in there was to play the show. And then I think I went back once or twice. But, you know, it just seems to me a great shame that we're losing.
Yeah, you guys have been around a lot. You've been around Chicago. You guys came here about 85, 86, something?
Well, I moved here in 97.
Okay.
I started coming here.
First
to
time I came was 85. Yeah. The Three Johns, played the Metro.
Yeah, yeah. So you've seen the changes.
Yeah, I mean, really, we never ventured. We used to go to El Sol, like on Ashland and Fulham. Yeah. And I think that was like, wow, it's the West Side.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
That was kind of like, we're really exploring the urban environment here, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of new great venues, to be honest. There are, you know, if you go down Milwaukee, there's tons and tons of, if you want to play rock music or, you know, if it's...
My kids are out at things all the time. I've got a 17-year-old and a 21-year-old. I mean, for the last 5 or 6 years... I've heard about all these great kind of illegal clubs and warehouse parties and stuff like that.
Do you think they move around the city more than they did in the 80s? In other words, there's more stuff going on in Pilsen maybe than there was in 85. You know?
My kids do.
I
they go all over the place.
That just tells you where's gentrifying, really.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
But yeah, clearly people are living all over the city doing whatever they do. You know, we do our thing. Other people do their things.
It's like all areas. Like, I mean, Lincoln Park was the groovy place when we first came here. You know, up and down Halsted Street and, you know, around by Diversey. That was kind of ground zero, and it was really cool. And then now, I mean, you know, Wicker Park, which was, and Logan Square are completely kind of neutered, you know, as places to go.
If you like sports bars.
If you like, you know, Chicago's great if you like loads of sports bars and loads of people in pastel T-shirts and baseball caps, you know.
All right, we could take a break for the news.
He's not wearing a pastel T-shirt.
And we'll be back
Pastel Fitzgerald's T-shirt.
After this on WGN.